Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
He's a hoe.
Easy ride. Easy ride.
All right, two down, one to go here. Final hour of the firm of Harris and Meringue. Coming up after us, you'll get Duck Insider from 1 to 2, and then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3, and then baby is primetime, 3 to 7 to take you all the way home. Bonus coverage tonight. You'll have recruiting with Andrew Nemec from 7 to 8 as well, giving you 14 hours of live, local, continuous, regional sports talk radio. Don't forget, you can enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 66th annual Portland Boat Show, Thursday, January 7th through Sunday, the 11th. Today is the 8th and also Thursday. I am still confused. Check out the best prices, top brands, and compare hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Enter now, 1051thefan.com, or grab 2-for-1 discount coupons at pdxboatshow.com. Coming up after us, we'll get into 10 Toes Down. It's Thursday. We do it every Thursday at 12:15. You send in your questions, and we will answer them unequivocally, without any wishy-washy. All 10 toes on the floor, 2 feet, palms, everything. No fence sitting. Got a couple in already. Take some more from you. We'll have some fun, because that's what we do here. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. We like to have fun. That's Rusty over there. He has more fun than all of us.
Probably.
He's less angry than us, I think.
No, wait till you get in a car with me.
I'm a little spicy right now, dude. YouTube's getting me all riled up.
I like it.
It's getting me all riled
up. I'm not having to do anything.
I just want to live in a world where if I critique your NFL quarterback, that doesn't mean anything about where they went to school. That's it. That's it. Just like I want to be able to talk about college quarterbacks that are great, and I don't care what they were in the NFL. Okay? Reggie Bush is the greatest college football player I ever saw in my entire life. How was he in the NFL? Eh. Doesn't take away from the greatest college football player I ever saw in my life.
There you go.
Fair? I knew you'd agree with that.
I'm in.
I know you're in. He got one of them statues. He's literally the greatest player I've ever seen. Like, who's better than him?
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Who's better than him?
Nope.
Like, I really want to hear somebody tell me. Tebow was fun. But from an energy level, wow, give me Reggie.
There hasn't been appointment viewing in my lifetime more than every time Reggie Bush touched the ball.
I don't think so. It's like Shohei Ohtani baseball levels. You know, maybe Mike in basketball, stuff like that. The Miami Hurricanes will take on the Ole Miss Rebels tonight in the Fiesta Bowl, 4:30. I believe you can hear all the coverage starts at 4 o'clock over on our sister
About
station.
About damn time.
9:10, right? I am so ready for this. It's Thursday night. We get a giant college football game. The matchup predictor, according to ESPN.com, has 57% for the U to 43% for Ole Miss.
Which is weird that the spread is 3.
You know what, Danny? I have no idea how this game's going to go. I think that's what makes this whole playoff very exciting right now, is that, you know, we'll obviously make our picks on Indiana, Oregon tomorrow and kind of wrap a bow on how we feel that game's going to go. But this Final Four is just incredible for me from a entertainment standpoint, because Miami, I think Miami is the better team of Ole Miss. But what did I just get done talking about? Guys like Reggie Bush, guys like Tim Tebow. Sometimes it just takes Vince Young. It just takes a guy to make it happen, and that's Trinidad Chambliss. Of all four teams, the one, like, magic guy, look, Dante's great. Fernando has a Heisman. Carson Beck's the vet. But of the magic, it's Trinidad Chambliss. And I think everyone in America outside of the state of Florida, and maybe half of you in the state of Florida, are rooting for Ole Miss. And I don't think, I think we almost kind of moved past the lane
that's a little bit. That's kind of why I asked Danny the question that I asked him. Like, why isn't Ole Miss getting the credit they deserve here? They have one loss in the season on the road at Georgia in a game they probably should have won.
Yeah.
Ole Miss should probably be undefeated.
They should. They should. And they would have been the 2 seed. Well, who knows what the SEC.
They're a top 4 seed.
Yeah, who knows what the SEC title game would have been. But they would have been a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
I think to Connell's point.
Let's do that real quick.
Shoot.
Ole Miss, Georgia is the SEC title game. And Ole Miss goes in that game undefeated, and they beat Georgia in Georgia. And Georgia beats Ole Miss in the title game. Does Georgia go ahead of Ole Miss?
Your top 4 seeds are Indiana. I'll bet you your top 4 seeds are Indiana.
Ohio State.
Georgia, Ohio State, Ole Miss.
So that's your top 4. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So right now you'd have Ole Miss, Indiana, if Chalk goes.
Okay.
I just think the SEC bias would bump one of those teams above Ohio State because Alabama got boat raced in that game.
But why would you give it to Georgia over Ole Miss?
Because they won the SEC title game.
I guess.
I know. I don't like it. But I think it's what
Ole Miss would have gone into Georgia and beat Georgia at home.
Agreed. But they would have lost in the game that matters at the end.
But to your point,
I don't like it, but I think that's what TV would do.
That's fair. But you're right. If you're talking about like the players in this game, Chambliss is the guy.
He's the guy.
And that isn't a takeaway from Lacey or Wallace. Like, those guys are studs. The other guy is Malachi Toney.
Mm-hmm. Now, Miami does have their own guy.
He's a true freshman. He's, you know, it's not Jeremiah Smith last year, but
no.
He is electric every time he touches the ball. Now, he could have a game where he has 80 combined yards rushing and receiving, you know, and be a factor, but he can also be a guy that breaks a game wide open because of his talent and his athleticism.
If you have not seen Malachi Toney, and to compare him to the Oregon Ducks, he's kind of a mix of De'Aaron Hill and DeCorian Moore.
Yeah.
He's, of just dudes in open space that can create serious, serious
he's
problems.
He's terrifying.
And I'm going to lean Miami in this game. As much as I want Ole Miss to win this game, I'm going to lean Miami in this game, and I think this is probably what Connell was kind of getting at when worrying about Chambliss having another just one for the books game, is that front line for Miami is nasty. You know,
yeah, the difference between Texas Tech and Miami. Texas Tech has got a better front seven.
Mm-hmm.
Miami secondary is just drastically better.
And I think where Miami misses in the comparison of Tech is they don't have the linebackers Tech has, but they got the front, the front four. They got those guys and their DBs. It's that middle game that's going to be tough. And that middle game is probably where you're going to create your spy for Trinidad Chambliss. Dare I say, if Chambliss has a bad game, it's either he's making poor throws or that linebacking core, that Pete Golding's linebacking core, has figured out how to contain Trinidad Chambliss. Because that boy just plays football, you know?
Yeah.
He's got Johnny in him. You know, he's got Johnny Backyard in him.
And
of just
fun.
Running around and throwing the rock.
And that's where you're going to have to see Miami be disciplined. Whether it's, you know, whether it's Reuben Bain, whether it's Messidor, whether it's Keontae Scott, like, you know, their third leading sacker in Keontae Scott is a DB that they bring off the edge a ton.
Mm-hmm.
They've just got dudes that put pressure on you endlessly. And like I've jokingly said this, look, if the Raiders can trade back and to the somewhere between picks 5 through 8 and pick up some more draft capital, Reuben Bain, come on down. David Bailey, come on
down.
You
are so high on Reuben.
I mean, Bain and Bailey are just absolute freaks. Like this, when you look at Reuben Bain, he's 6'3", 275, and he just plays with an insane motor, and there's just nothing you can really do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what's going to be interesting is, you know, Carson Beck has, for the most part this season, with the exception of those two games, has really limited his mistakes.
And that's where I was going to go next. It's like Chambliss has the excitement, the wow factor, the ability to turn this game into an electricity dumpster fire and create real big problems. I think this game lies more on the hands of Carson Beck than Trinidad Chambliss. Because I think Chambliss might go out there and make a mistake, but it's not killing Ole Miss when he does. When Carson Beck makes mistakes, it kills Miami. It kills them. You know, it's like, you know, Dante has that mistake against Nebraska. It's not the reason they lost. They didn't lose because Dante turned it over. Mm-hmm. They lost because they got punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
When Carson Beck turns the ball over, when Carson Beck turns the ball over, they lose games.
Yeah, I actually thought it was interesting the way that Danny phrased that was they haven't needed Carson Beck to do much.
Sure haven't, no.
But if you look at Carson Beck's, like, if you look at his season, you just kind of look at his game log and how productive he was. Against Notre Dame, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Here's the other thing. He's only been sacked twice in a game or more. He's only been sacked two sacks is the most he's been sacked in a game. He's been sacked 3 times. He's had 5 games where he hasn't been sacked. That Miami offensive line is very good.
Well, it better be. You know? It better be. Who's your head coach?
You're not wrong.
I don't. And that's, we can finish up there in head coach. Look, Pete, power of God to you, my amigo. Playing house money here. Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck to you next year, bud. I hope you guys squeak this out, because next year might be a tough year at Ole Miss, if you catch my drift.
Sure.
With everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. I would like Mario to win this game. I am not a Duck fan. I have no skin in this game. There is something about Mario Cristobal everywhere he's been, anytime I've ever seen him, that I just don't love.
He's got too much testosterone.
He's got too much tea for me.
Yep.
And it's not like rah-rah tea. It's an arrogant cockiness tea that I don't like, mostly because I just haven't seen it.
You just don't like the tea.
Backed up. I don't like the
tea. You're
anti-tea. Anti-tea. Look at me, dude. I feel these hands.
Soft.
Never worked a hard day in my life.
My calluses are coming back, and I love it.
If Mario wins this game, I'm going to give Mario some flowers.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing.
It'll put him, you know, because Dan Lanning gets kind of pumped into this world already, despite not winning the big one and having some, honestly, some bad losses on his resume. But everybody knows that Dan is a great coach. There's no doubt about it. Mario should be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a little bit because he's unlikable and a little bit because he's kind of blown some games in his, and it's his fault they've blown games. So I hear Connell when he says that he doesn't need it, that he's proved a lot of the doubters wrong.
I mean, knock off Ohio State and A&M.
You knock off Ohio State, A&M, Ole Miss, and go to a natty against Indiana or Oregon, I'm going to have to shut the hell up. Like, I'm going to have to.
The path there is pretty tough. And you know, as a neutral looking at this game, I'm okay with either team winning. I just want a good game.
I just want a good game
That's what I'm like. I think this can be. This has the potential to be a very good game.
Are you sticking on your Ole Miss train?
Yeah, I'm going to ride him.
You're going to ride Chambliss?
Yeah, I love Chambliss, man. I just do. He's one of my favorite players in the country.
I'm going to take Miami in this game. I'm going to take Miami. I'm going to take a clean Carson Beck game.
Miami's the better team.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't think anybody's doubting that. It's the Ole Miss story. You know? Indiana has their own story. Why can't Ole Miss have theirs?
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see.
Also, if Ole Miss wins, Lane gets another check for $750K.
If they win the title, he gets another million.
So sad.
Good work if you can find it.
It's so sad to root against Lane, but that means you're rooting against this really fun team.
I won't do it.
We'll come back tomorrow and break down this game, how it all goes down. Guys, have your fun out there. Shoot me with what you think on the fan text line, 503-864-6326, or over on the YouTube chat. Speaking of those, it's 10 toes down. We do it every Thursday. Get those in. We'll go there next. 105.1 The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There's no fence sitting here.
Sooner or later, man's got to pick sides.
This is 10 Toes Down, where the firm picks a side and is all in.
They know where I'm at. 10 Toes Down.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 10 toes down, baby. Must be a Thursday. That means we're almost Friday. Do this at 12:15. You all get to decide how this bad boy goes. If we run two seggies, we'll run two. If not, we'll just do one. And please, do not send your political thoughts on the fan text line.
You can send them, but...
not gonna work here anymore. Yeah, we're not gonna touch that. 10 toes down. I'm terrified my Liverpool team is gonna lose this Arsenal game in the pouring rain in London.
Hate to see it.
Here comes Rusty in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't care.
You should, dude. Make your life so much happier. Watching sports.
Not good.
Dude, here's a 10 toes down take I will give you right now to start off. Okay, this just popped in my brain. It is so wonderful and refreshing to watch a high level sport that I care about that affects my job in no way, shape, or form.
That's fair.
Is so relieving, relaxing, because look, we don't have real jobs here. Like, this is a lot of fun talking about sports and getting in arguments with y'all on the YouTube chat and, you know, having good discourse. And, you know, I sit next to Danny Morang every day. Like, there are challenges, but for the most part, it's really fun. I love you, buddy.
It happens.
For the most part, it's really fun. But there are times, Danny, even you know this. You love NBA. You love the Blazers. Are there not days you're like, oh, God, I don't want to do this?
There's 2 years of it.
Yeah, it's just kind of natural sometimes to not want to do stuff. That's why I love my relationship with soccer. Because this Arsenal-Liverpool game is my world right now, and it means nothing to my job. Nothing.
That's fair.
Because you guys don't care.
No.
I mean, I know I just talked about it, so it is, I'm bringing it in. But if I never brought it in, nobody would care.
It's the simple things.
Yeah.
You can just be, not neutral, but like, there's a different vibe with it.
It allows me to remember why I love sports. You know, because there's no... nobody wants anything from me. There's no expectation.
Yeah, you just get to enjoy it.
10 toes down. You send them in. We answer these questions unequivocally. No fence sitting, no wishy-washy. 10 toes down and get it. Let's see. Where should we start? This one comes in from Bob. 10 toes down. Would you still draft Scoot over Amen today? And do you still think Scoot has more potential than Amen?
No. And?
Littering end.
Yes, hindsight is great.
You boys like Mexico?
Look, yeah! With Scoot, the bar is the floor right now.
Yeah, I know.
He's a stud.
Well, I wanted to bring this up because I think it's something to remember. Amen Thompson is dope. Okay, Amen Thompson's awesome. I love him as a player.
Would you still draft anyone before Giannis, or would you take Giannis?
And like, that's where I was going to go. Like, Luka went, what, 7th overall?
5th.
5th overall?
No, Trey went in front of him.
The NBA draft is a very, very difficult draft. Dare I say, NBA and baseball are the toughest to predict. NFL, obviously, quarterback can be a little tough, but...
At the top, you always have more luck.
Look, dude, if you draft Joe Thomas #1 overall, I think we all knew he was going to play for 15 years. There are some things like that. Now, the NBA has Wembys and Flags and LeBrons and Kyries and guys that you just know.
For every Joe Thomas, though, there's a gallery, Robert Gallery. You know, out of Iowa, the Raiders took him. He was supposed to be... You know what Joe Thomas was, and he wasn't
wandering down the street at a Super Bowl. You know, like the NBA is just so difficult. In hindsight, of course, I'd rather have Amen Thompson. But we were chatting about this on the YouTube chats earlier. I think as awesome as it is to have Dame and Drew, you know, assuming when they are both fully healthy and what this team could look like, does it run out of a little room for Scoot? Sure, it does. But Dame and Drew ain't going to be here forever. And I think when you draft somebody 3rd overall, whether you like the pick in hindsight or not, you have to find out what you have. Look, it didn't take long for Blazer fans to turn on Zach Collins. It really didn't.
No.
It took almost immediately. And some of that is Olshea being a little stick in the muddy.
Well, he tried to play him as a power forward.
But I think when you draft a guy that high, and this goes for Shaden too, this goes for Donovan as well.
Any lottery pick.
When you draft a lottery pick, you have to see what they have. And to just want to bail on Scoot, I think would be a malpractice. Am I concerned? Sure. Am I concerned he can be the scorer that we thought we needed when we drafted him? The Blazers needed when they drafted him? I don't think he will be that.
The ask is very different now.
Exactly. This team is different, dude. The emergence of this guy named Denny Avdija has changed my perception of this team. When Shaedon Sharpe was drafted, my thought, even going into this season, it's like Shaden's got to be my one. He's got to be my one. He's got to be my primary scorer. He's the most athlete of athletes on the team. He's got to get this going. He's got to be the guy. Guess what, guys? New information creates new opinions. Denny brought me new information. Now I have new opinions. Now my question is Denny still a prolific scorer when Drew comes back to run the offense? Because I think there's a lot of benefits Denny has by running the offense, offense from a stat box line. Do I think Denny's all of a sudden going to be a bad player? No. But new information creates new opinions.
Sure. I mean, look, Amen, the thing about him is the shooting profile. He's never going to be a shooter. And when you, the likelihood of a guy being what Amen has been as a defender, as a playmaker, as a rim threat, and being as productive as he is without with everyone knowing that he can't shoot, it, I mean, it was slim to none. Like, mm-hmm. he was always going to be really good, but his chances to be great were going to be more limited.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's turned into, like, supersized Andre Iguodala.
Iggy is a pretty rad player to have.
But if you're taking a guy in the top five, top four, do you want Andre Iguodala or do you want the potential that you saw in Scoot Henderson? Look, I think if you put a gun to the Blazers' head, they would have rather had a Brandon Miller.
Oh, for sure.
Because
they wanted Brandon Miller. I mean, we all know what we wanted at number one, but it wasn't available.
But, like, look at how this team has been built. They wanted size and length, athleticism, mm-hmm. all those things. But Amen's lack of shooting at all. It's not like Amen's like, eh, he's an okay shooter. No, he's just absolutely torrid shooter.
And you're I know that there's a lot of, like, kind of talk about, you know, drafting Scoot might have been the straw that breaks Dame wanting out. But I think
draft anyone there not named Wemby would have been the same.
I think you're doing malpractice if you're not thinking like Dame might ask out. I might need a guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went through this whole world of like,
are you going to turn the offense over to Amen Thompson right out of the gate? No.
Stop drafting guards. You know, stop signing small guards. Then it came to a point where it's like, oh, we kind of need a guard. Look where we are now. We need guards like I need hair.
And the consensus was you take Scoot because of his profile coming out.
10 toes down. Would you rather lose the ability to lie or believe everything you're told?
What's that movie with Ricky Gervais where he invented the lie because nobody could? God, it's two movies today I pulled up, but I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, he, like, the whole world, you couldn't lie. And then all of a sudden, one day he could lie. And because nobody could lie, everybody believed what he said.
Mm.
And so it became this whole thing. And I think that's basically the premise of this. I'd rather lose the ability to lie than believe everything I was told.
I'm right.
And it's not even close to me.
I'm right there with you. Lying is sometimes a very beneficial thing. You know, I don't lie a lot. I live in the white lie world.
Sure.
Just because of my own personal situation, my friends, family, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. I think it's very dangerous to believe everything you're told. We kind of made the joke about don't send me political stuff because I'm not going to talk about it on here. I mean, you're looking at it. You will show me something and I'll be like, I saw completely different. I will say something to you. You're like, that's not true at all. The concept of believing everything you are told, whether it's the news, you know, your politicians or
whatever it is,
or the ESPN talking heads telling me that the SEC is great when I'm looking at it and it's not, your parents, you know, how many things have your parents told you that they 10 toes down on that you were like, that wasn't really right,
no,
Mom?
Not quite right.
I think you live in a dangerous world to believe everything.
Yeah, no, hard pass on that.
Last call for 10 toes down, 503-864-6326 or over on the YouTube chat. Got a little more in here. Might get to another Blazer one on here if we want. Something in here about Danny Cannell as well. And make sure you don't decide to jump out of a moving vehicle, but I understand your pain there. More 10 toes down next, but first, that's the kahuna over there. He's got sports for you.
You ever had a big kahuna burger?
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, this is 10 Toes Down. We do it every single Thursday at 12:15. A little bonus one for you today. Might get enough in. We'll see how we go. 503-864-6326. This is a fun one about being a kid. 10 toes down. I was 22, just out of college, living in the Pearl, walking to the strip club, because that's what you do down there. On my way, I saw a big line at a bar, and after chatting to people in line, Weezer was doing a small, intimate show that there would have been room for us to get into. What would we do at age 22 with the decision to keep walking to cabaret or get in the Weezer line? Amigo, I'll go first on this. This is quite easy for me. I grew up a Weezer kid. The Blue Album was, I remember the older kids listening to the Blue Album, and I was like, well, I guess I got to get on this so I can be cool. And
Pam Anderson in the music video, right?
What's that?
Is Pam Anderson in the music video?
I don't remember the music video.
Is that what it was?
Which one? Say It Ain't So, the sweater song?
Yeah, I think it was Say It Ain't So. They're like shrunk down on top of her.
I don't remember the videos for it. I love Weezer. And amigo, what you got to realize is Weezer ain't playing till 2 a.m. Them strip clubs are open till 2 a.m. And they serving till 2 a.m. So, my amigo, you stop and wait in line.
No, I'm thinking of Lit.
Because the strip club is going to be there later. Come on, guys.
Yeah, you can hit the strip club any night.
Look, the most overrated phrase I've ever heard in my entire life, and if my wife is listening right now, she's going to pull her hair out when I say this, because she'll be like, God, you're exhausting.
Well, I think that dancer really likes you.
The most overrated... That's funny. That was funny.
Step into a Slim Jim!
From the top rope. The most overrated statement I've ever heard in my entire life is you can't have your cake and eat it too. Bullsh. Okay? I am living proof. I spend every single part of my day trying to make sure that not only do I control the ingredients in that cake, I get first bite and it's all my cake.
Selfish.
I know, dude. That's the real me, dude. That's why you don't want to know the real me.
Yeah, see, but you're also gluten-free.
I am not gluten-free.
Coward.
Look at this fat ass. I am not gluten.
Gluten ain't calories, dog.
Gluten is my homie. Bro, I worked in beer for a decade.
That's true. You're out here drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Hell no. Even non-alcoholic beer. No, I don't think non-alcoholic beer has grain in it. Well, it has to. I don't know. I don't know anything about
it. I don't know how they get the alcohol out.
I just think you're a bunch of quitters, but that's just me.
That happens.
I probably shouldn't say that. If you are sober because you need to be sober, I fully support you. We'll give you any kind of support.
There's your 10 toes, coward.
Where are you on this, Danny? Are you a Weezer guy? Are you going into the Weezer?
Nah, I mean, no. That genre of music, not really my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not against
it. It's kind of like alternative 90s kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, like some of that stuff's okay, but I was never really into like Weezer, Lit, Blink. The post-punk type stuff. We were talking about this
41,
yesterday.
Yeah, like, I was never into it.
Some of it's okay, sure. Like, there's a couple songs I like, but, like, albums, nah, it's never my thing.
I was kind of into Green Day a little bit.
I liked Dookie just because I was loved a dumb Dookie. Kid, and it was Dookie. Yeah, but, like...
And Nimrod was good, too.
But, I mean, for the most part, not really my... I was always a metal, new metal, rock guy.
10 Toes Down, you respect Danny Cannell as a sports commentator personality. Second question, where does he rank as a college QB amongst former QB sports commentators personalities? I've been thinking about this for a little bit. The quarterbacks that I see on television, does Herbie count?
Yeah, Herbie counts.
Okay, Herb Street, Jesse Palmer, Greg McElroy,
Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
Leinart.
Matt Leinart, great call there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else
in the college game.
In the college game, the NFL game.
Oh,
RG3. RG3. As far as Cannell goes, I like Cannell in talk format.
Yeah, when he gets more runway.
He used to spend a lot of time with Ryan Russillo and Scott Van Pelt. Yeah. I really loved
those guys.
I really loved those days with him. As far as on a game, look, I'm out on McElroy.
Yeah.
Like, full on out on McElroy. I have not consumed a ton of Tebow.
I think Tebow's great.
Is he? I have not consumed a ton. I love Leinart. Yeah. I really enjoy Leinart on the Big Nooner. I wish Reggie was still there. I guess we'll deal with Mark Ingram. I like Leinart on TV. You know, I think Jesse calls a good game.
Yeah.
I think Jesse's fun.
But Jesse's different.
He's also like...
He's so much more like... prim and polished. It's Good Morning America.
He's
the
cool.
Bachelor. Like,
he's
you know
cool.
I mean?
He's good looking. Yeah. He puts gel in his hair. Like, I like Palmer. McElroy, I'm over. And that's from. I've enjoyed RG3. He called a Wazoo game this year that I caught. RG3, I think, is good.
The
on
way
play
you
by play.
Giggled when RG3 came into media.
Oh my
row.
God. I don't.
The swagger was on 11 billion.
I've never been more starstruck in my entire life. And I've like seen some cool people. Yeah. I was once digging records and looked up and saw Eddie Vedder. When RG3 walked into the room at Media Day at Army Navy, I was very, very starstruck.
There's an aura. There's a swagger to him. Like, he walks into a room and he controls it, man.
I would say maybe like a Mark Sanchez, but is that too deep of a cut?
Ooh. Mark, the problem was Mark was good.
Mark was good. I wanted to keep this kind of more more college than NFL, because like on the YouTube chat, Romo is 1,000 times better as a commentator than he was a QB. That's actually kind of a hot take.
Yeah,
I think some people really don't like him as a commentator. I think Romo is fine.
Also, he's a really good quarterback.
I think he's silly, and sometimes there's room for silly.
But Danny's the best in the long form. Sure.
I love Danny in the long form. Yeah, I do too. And I'd love to see Matt Leinart in long form a little more. I'd like to see RG3 in long form a little more.
Leinart does on his pod.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I've seen
RG. He's fun too.
I've seen RG3 be like interviewed and stuff, and I think he's got good stuff. But as far as like doing a show,
I actually
I would love
like
to see more.
I like RG on calls. He's fun. Too. It's you
he's
know,
also really new at it. Yeah. So it's hard to like trash somebody who's like.
But
brand
like he
new.
Has fun with it and doesn't go as far as Gus. You know what I mean?
Ugh, I'm so out on Gus. Yeah. Joel Klatt, former quarterback.
There you go. Yeah, Klatt's great. You're talking about long form. Klatt's probably the best.
Klatt might be the best at both. He's really good, too, on the call. And he's at first, I didn't really care for Joel Klatt in the Cowherd days. Mm-hmm. It felt like they were both trolling each other, and I just kind of got obnoxious.
Yeah.
But once I stopped consuming him through that medium and started kind of consuming Klatt on his own, I've come around on him a lot, and he's a great too.
And I love Kanell. I always thought he got an unfair shake
at like, ESPN. Like,
yeah,
I agree too.
Like people are like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's like Kanell's always been great. What do you mean?
I never saw him as a quarterback, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
I only really know him as TV, and I've also really enjoyed him. Let's see.
I mean, of those quarterbacks, he's not better than Tebow. He's not better than RG.
Brady Quinn. Coming in on the text line?
Absolutely not.
Why? Because he's Notre Dame?
No, I just don't like him at all on the call.
I've consumed some of his radio shows.
I'm not a Brady guy at all.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I take McElroy over him.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm just out on McElroy. Yeah. McElroy's just got that Ryan Clark vibe to me.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Where it's like, it was really cool. I liked that you were coming up. I enjoyed listening to you, and now I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not a Brady guy at all.
Let's see. There was one more Blazer in here. 10 toes down, Blazers development will take a step back when injured players come back, including Dame next year. I've kind of mentioned that I'm curious. I've told you this off air. I don't know how much I've said it on air. I'm curious about Denny's role in the offense when Drew comes back. I don't think it's going to stunt his growth by any means, but I'm curious because, as I've said, he has so many more opportunities because he's really embraced the point guard and he's kind of running the offense. I know this is 10 toes down. I don't think anybody's growth is being stunted. I will 10 toes down on that. But I am curious what this offense looks like. I am. Mostly with Drew. We've seen it with Jeremy. We know they can play off each other.
Yeah.
But when a true point guard, Hall of Fame level point guard, starts running that offense, I'm curious what Jeremy, Shaden, and Denny's, and Donovan, even offensively, what their roles look like.
I don't think Denny's is going to change much. He is a superstar creator.
He's a creator, yeah.
Like he is a power wing creator in the same vein as Giannis, Braun, Luka, like Tatum, like a power wing creator. Now he may not be as good as any of those. I mean, hell, he's putting up Tatum's line right now, but like he's that good. You're not going to see a ton of change. Mm-hmm. The difference is instead of kicking out to Caleb Love, he's kicking out to Jrue Holiday, or you know when he does toggle off the ball. It's not Caleb Love initiating. It's not Shaden Sharpe initiating as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, Shaden can do some things, but when Denny was off the floor last night and the lineup, it was Caleb, Shaden, God, I can't remember who else was out, two, somebody else. And I'm just sitting there going, they had like four or five straight possessions of like late clock, couldn't really figure stuff out. And it's like, yeah, you need an organizer out there. And Denny's not the best organizer, but at bare minimum, Denny's just going to go, screw it, I'm going to put my head down, collapse the defense, and figure this out.
And that's kind of why I'm really excited, just to see a true point guard run the system, let guys free up a little bit.
Yes.
A creator, the true test of a creator is creating with ball and without ball.
And Drew can toggle on and off. That's what makes him. That's what makes him so special.
Because I think what's been great about Denny in the emergence as a scorer, and Shea being consistent of late, and Donovan stepping up as well, is Drew doesn't have to score.
No.
And that's a body that is...
Remember, Drew, before he went down, was averaging 18-7 very efficiently.
And that's just the smartest basketball guy on the court who doesn't have to score.
And he doesn't make mistakes.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, super nice to have.
That is 10 Toes Down. We do it every single Thursday at 12:15. Double Seggy today for y'all, because that's how you dictate it. We come back, closing arguments, send you on your way, 105.1 and 1080 AM.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll recap Miami Ole Miss, and however that goes down, we'll finish up our thoughts.
Abbreviated program.
On Oregon, Indiana. That is correct. We're only 2 hours tomorrow, because then we'll toss it down to Washington Square for our boys Andy Dirt Johnson and Anthony Newman. They will handle the pregame coverage of the Peach Bowl before we send it to Jerry Jorgie and Dusty Hurrah down in Hotlanta, and then kick at 4:30, catch all that action right here, 105.1, the Fan Sports Network, home of your Oregon Ducks, Danny. We also have the Philadelphia Eagles, the Buffalo Bills, and the Los Angeles Rams to get to tomorrow. I thought, do you think those three are probably the three outside of the one seeds that have bye? Those are the three teams this weekend that have the best chance?
Probably.
To win a Super Bowl? Yeah. On paper, at least. Yeah. I know we like our Houstons and Jacksonville's, yeah. I am going to hate on the Bears until they probably win a Super Bowl and then poop on my face.
Mm.
But yeah, so we'll save those guys for tomorrow. Some stuff to clean up today that we missed. Dolphins fire Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm. He won't be without a job long.
No, Rusty just told us that he's already interviewing the Lions. Hell yeah.
Von Campbell, reached out.
I mean, you saw the loss of Johnson, and there's no doubt that McDaniel is a great, great offensive mind. Who's running OC duties in San Francisco? I just assumed he'd go back there.
I mean, that or if Saleh gets a job, because the Ravens have reached out to Saleh to be their head coach.
Oh.
Could see those
Saleh
two.
At Baltimore with McCarthy or McDaniel.
I was just noticing, too, three different bird mascots have reached out to interview Robert Saleh. You got the Falcons, the Ravens, and the Cardinals.
Are we going to go another round with Robert Saleh?
As head coach? Yeah, I think you deserve it because you went to the Jets S show where coaches go to die.
I know, it's always so hard to tell if you're a good coach or not. Now, Adam Gase, we knew.
Yeah, we knew.
That was really obvious. But sometimes it's really hard to tell if you're a good coach on a bad team, you know? Like, wasn't Schottenheimer running the Titans there for a second? No, who was the guy that was the coach at the Titans before they turfed him this year?
Before that, it was Vrabel.
Oh, I know. But then they had somebody this year who they fired.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can't remember his name.
It's a legacy coach, is it not?
I can't remember.
Legacy coaches? God, why can't I remember either?
It's not Kubiak.
No.
God, why can't I remember? It happened earlier in the season, so it's totally escaping me.
Not going to work.
It's also the Titans, so I don't care.
Yeah. It's hard to always tell with some of those guys. Let's see here. Kurt Cignetti once told somebody that he is happy sometimes. Makes me think of, I'd be a lot happier.
He said it as stone cold as you can imagine.
I like to think of it, I'd be a lot happier if you quit asking me stupid questions.
Mm. It helps.
I bet you he's a lot of fun.
Mm.
I bet you he's a lot
of fun. I'd like to have let's sit down with Sig.
Have a beer and a schmoke and a pancake.
Yeah. No, Sig's a good hang.
I wonder if you, what would you want to talk to Sig about? I mean, obviously football, but what would you get in with Cignetti about? Kids these days? I bet you he's got some great opinions on that.
I bet you he's just got some good stories.
I bet you he does. I'd like to know what kind of music he listens to. Is he a country music guy? Is he classic rock? You know? Is he a jazz guy?
He's definitely a Kendrick over Drake guy.
Dude, I think most people with a pulse are Kendrick over Drake guys.
Damn right.
Is he... What if he came out of left field and was like, I actually don't really listen to music. It's not my jam.
I mean, that's...
I would judge him.
True sociopathic behavior.
I would judge him.
What nothing to do with that.
I think that's a really tough world to live in if you don't listen to music.
Mm. Yep, hard pass.
Brian Callahan.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Brian Callahan. Yeah. You're asking on the text line, where at Washington Square? That'd be the Thirsty Lion.
Thirsty Lion.
Washington Square location. You can go down there and say hi. I went to the watch party last week. Sat with Joe Fisher and a couple of our sales bros down at Grand Central Bowl. That was a good time.
Mm.
Washington Square, a little deep for this guy.
I mean, it's on my way back, so maybe I'll pop in there before I head to the Blazers game.
Talk some ass to Dirt. Yeah. Tell him Dante sucks, bro.
Make sure I pick Indian on the way out.
I don't know where I am tomorrow. What do you think I'm going to do?
You're going to pick your Ducks.
What?
We talked about India being the best team in the country for the majority of the year, and you're going to pick the Ducks.
It took me by surprise, I must say.
I don't think so.
We know.
I'm leaning Indiana today. I am.
Leaning.
Let me ask you a quick question. I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow. If Indiana doesn't win a natty, does this story go bye-bye?
No.
Is it still... Do we still recall this as one of the great stories?
Yes, it's one of the worst programs in the history of the sport, like on the precipice of winning a title.
This lives in the Boise State world?
Yes. It's crazy.
I hope so. I would hate.
And they're not done. They're not just going to fall off the map.
Well, that's the difference between them and Boise State, is they got the money and the game is different now that they have the ability. It was too hard back then to stay Boise State at the top, you know. In college basketball, where there's bagmen, you can be a Gonzaga or, you know,
less players.
A Creighton or a Wichita State, and you can stay at the top. You know, you can kind of manufacture your schedule, et cetera.
But no, it doesn't go away. And they're not going away anytime soon, especially with Cuban funneling money.
On the text line, Coach Sig, tell me about your daily hygiene routine.
That's probably a little too personal.
Is he a boxer brief or boxer brief guy?
Just free.
That would be the best.
Just letting it hang.
Well, I told you, as he's walking up to the Rose Bowl, he's got this quarter zip on. He's wearing no shirt underneath. He's got the like the thin, like blue-tinted sunglasses hanging from it. With the head down, cocked, like looking.
He's got a little swag to him.
Got a little
swag netty.
Got a little Joker face to him, you know.
Oh yeah, he
does.
The
big smile and kind of the eyebrows.
The Jack Nicholson Joker.
Yeah, the Jack Nicholson Joker in him.
No, I'm here for it.
Do you think? You know what would be fun to do with Signetti? Watch Miami Ole Miss with him.
Ooh, there you go.
Live. You know, obviously he'll go back and look at tape later.
Sure.
But I'd love to watch it live with him.
That'd be fun.
Even if he looked at me and he said, hey, bud, you can take a seat right here. Don't say a word. If I swear to God, if you say one thing,
I'll kill you.
I will kill you and you will be outside. Okay? But yes, take a seat.
It'd be fun.
Is there any water here? That's it. Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
I gotta pee.
Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. We will catch you all tomorrow. Enjoy the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow. And we'll wrap up the Peach Bowl as well. Tonight, excuse me, the Fiesta Bowl. We'll wrap up the Peach Bowl tomorrow. For Danny Meringue, that's Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I do.
Bye.